All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That is Marcellus Wiley. That dude.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming up, Nick Foles just got paid. And I'll tell you why Dak Prescott should take notice.
And if the Warriors are really vulnerable or just really bored. But we start every day with a Whitlock. So what you got?
Marcellus, I have a few words of wisdom for Russell Westbrook and the modern professional athlete. Fans are like family. You can't choose them. You can't disown them. Not really. You inherit them, and they share your lineage, a love of sports, for life. And you're best served learning to love them, or at the very least, tolerate them, even the ones who make your skin crawl.
For life.
For millionaire professional athletes, life without a boatload of fans is like a dinner table for two on Thanksgiving Day. That says something about you, not your family. Russell Westbrook has a you problem. He thinks he can pick and choose NBA fans and weed out the ones he doesn't like. Last night in Utah, cameras captured Westbrook cursing at and threatening a Jazz fan and his wife. Take a listen.
I'll f*** him up. He said that's all. I promise you. See, I'm playing. I swear to God. I swear to God. I'll f*** you up. You and your wife. I'll f*** you up.
That is absolutely indefensible. Westbrook defended his actions by claiming the fan taunted him in a racist manner. But the fan, of course, had a different explanation.
How it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful. Disrespect would not be taken from me. I'm completely just... sit back some time and just take it like that. That's just one video, but throughout the whole game, throughout the whole, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said.
Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat, that's heat. And I'm like, well, you're gonna need it. And then it turned into, not safe for work.
I don't care whether the fan said, get on your knees, ice your knees, heat your knees, or chop your knees off. It's all irrelevant. He's a fan. He paid his money. He gets to say what he wants. The actions of a fan rarely require a reaction. 2 weeks ago, Westbrook got triggered when a child slightly touched him along the sidelines. In 2016, the NBA fined Westbrook $25,000 for yelling F you at a Mavericks fan. Westbrook is exhibiting the behavior of your typical privileged, pampered, millionaire elite. He's better than the peasants who support his lavish lifestyle and come to witness his athletic feats. The peasants must be controlled. How dare they insult someone as great as Lord Russell Westbrook the Great, first of his name, the king of triple doubles. Let me add this. I also don't care what's on the Twitter page of the Jazz fan. I don't care if he supports President Trump. I don't care if he's previously tweeted disdain for Westbrook. I've never lived in a fantasy world where I ever assumed all sports fans behaved appropriately all the time or thought perfect thoughts or were free of bias and bigotry. Fans are like me, flawed, emotional, occasionally inappropriate. A well-adjusted adult doesn't allow his emotions to be triggered by any and every trash-talking fan. I've been a trash-talking fan. You look for athletes as mentally weak as Westbrook to target. Players on an NBA court say all kinds of disrespectful things to each other. In extreme cases, they might slip in some highly personal trash talk about wives, girlfriends, mistresses, sexual orientation. But Westbrook wants to beat up a fan and his wife over something said about his knees? That's a Westbrook problem, not a fan problem. Kobe Bryant got fined $100,000 for using a gay slur. Westbrook should be suspended for a week and fined $200,000 for his poor behavior. All right, joining the desk now, a couple of NBA champions, Brian Scalabrine and Dante Jones. Marcellus, I'll start with you. What, if anything, should the NBA do about Russell Westbrook?
they should slap him on the wrist in terms of punishment, because there's a greater gain in this moment than just a punishment and a fine. Where we are right now is two worlds colliding. In an ideal world, Russell Westbrook can tune out the noise of the fans. In an ideal world, fans don't say ignorant, disrespectful stuff to the players. But we're not there. In the reality, we know that these worlds are colliding, and more frequently than ever. And so here's the real. If you're the NBA, you have to side with Russell Westbrook. And I tell you why. One, you want to protect the workplace. And protecting the workplace is where the guys actually perform. Where you come out, you pay your hard-earned money as a fan to actually watch a product. You want to watch that product go out there, and you want to see it. And whether you cheer, you boo, whatever you want to do, in the lines of respect, you want to see that product. That's why you spent your money. But that's not even the priority of what you're trying to protect if you're an NBA. You need to protect the fan experience. And I made this transition from being on the field to actually being in the stands. And let me tell you, it is not a fan-friendly place for me, my son, now my daughter, to go to with my wife. Because as soon as I sit down, I don't check my section for my viewing and my seating arrangement and to see how well I can see the field or the court. I'm checking to see how many knuckleheads in my section and where the yellow jackets at. Because I know once I'm sitting around one of these guys or gals, all of a sudden, there goes my fan experience. NBA has to know, like all major corporations know, if it's a family-friendly product, protect it at all costs because that's the most lucrative and profitable. So you slap Russell Westbrook, say, hey, man, you can't threaten fans slash a woman. But more importantly, fans, get in alignment because you're messing up the experience for everyone else who's paying their hard-earned money.
Are fans complaining? I mean, yeah, were there Utah fans oh my God, this is horrible, this man said,
you know what? Most communication is nonverbal. You want to see the eye rolls. You want to see the nonverbal. You want to see how many times I've sat there and be like, now, should I call security?
I'm talking about Utah last night.
I wasn't there. You weren't either.
So, I know.
So the point is, you don't know how many people are sitting there actually being compromised in their experience because the one who's having the mob mentality off the sauce is doing too much. If you're the NBA, there are only a few fans like this. Handle them like they did in New England.
Sure.
Suspend them, get them out of there, and then you'll solve this problem.
But Westbrook went over the line. You have security people in place to handle this. I 100% agree with you. My wife tells me all the time, some of the stuff that these fans say, you can't bring your kids to the game. And you're not going to check that guy sitting three rows down from you. But Westbrook shouldn't have to check him either. That his job is to go out there and hoop and to win game. Security, there are people in place to go up there and check fans. And I agree, they should not be at the games. But that's not Westbrook's job to kick them out.
What's the worst that's been ever said to you? I need that this perspective from you, because I can give you what the worst has been done to me on my family.
Sure.
Side. What's the worst been said to you before?
I'm not sure, because I'm not really sensitive like that.
I'm the same way.
They threw a battery one time.
I'm not sensitive. I'm not triggered by words. I'm not triggered by racial slurs. I think they're all words, and it just is what it is. But sometimes fans can go too far. Should Russell Westbrook be fined? Yes. Should the fan be dealt with? Yes.
100%.
I think Russ was willing to take the fine to speak out for himself. But he should. No, no. But
$50,000 to Russell Westbrook is nothing.
But
you're right.
We all do have different triggers. We all have different vices, and we have different triggers. Some words mean different things to different people. Mm. In my life, the fan experience, sometimes by the actions on the court and how well you compete and what you may have done even on accident, I've had to deal with death threats. I've had to have security at my hotel for a month straight, at my house for a month straight because of an action on the court, because of a fan, his interaction at the game thought it was my life and my children's and my wife's life should be affected because of a basketball game.
Yeah, but so, you should not have to deal with that. Someone else should be in place for that.
That was
what you gonna do now? Go to him and say we gotta square this up.
That was started at the game.
Agreed.
It was a revolt started at the game because they thought something happened that they shouldn't have never happened. So what I'm saying is Russ should be fined for the words that he used. But sometimes these fans are taking this way too far.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going on in our world, in our country right now.
We don't disagree. None of us disagree with that.
They think they have different rights.
To some degree in terms of.
Because the fans are just not to do whatever they want to.
I just wanted to argue the facts. And Russell Westbrook's set of facts are, the guy said, get on your knees like you're used to. The guy's argument is, no, I said, you got ice or heat on your knees.
But if you
sit
check
down,
the guy's timeline, he is a.
No,
you ain't got to check the timeline. You check his Twitter timeline.
No, listen to his words.
He's saying
and all of a sudden it went somewhere that was not good for work. Guess what? He didn't even, the dialogue ceased. He started to go to a different place.
I know, but again, I don't want to argue with his Twitter page.
I'm not
either. Because one, Russell Westbrook has no knowledge of that, and no one at the game did.
What I'm saying is he's
lying. It's after the fact. No. Russell Westbrook could be lying too. We can call people liars. We could do that, but all we got to do is argue the facts. If Russell Westbrook's facts are right, there's still no provocation there to threaten this man or his wife and to drop them F-bombs. Period.
That is true.
Based on what this guy said happened, the facts are still the same. There's no provocation for what Westbrook did. If we're going to create a society where all it takes is for some white man to say anything to us and it justifies us going flying off the handle and making a fool out of ourselves, then we are creating a sorry society for ourselves as black people.
This is not about that.
You showed
a montage where a kid touched him, another one where a woman, another one where an Asian man. This is not about just some white man walking. All those videos were of different ethnicities, different age groups. This is about somebody who, even in their own words, was incomplete in what occurred. He got to the point, he said, and he was dropping F-bombs, and I said something about the knees, and then everything else is not suitable for work.
But
guess what? What is that? Because that's what Russell Westbrook...
But James Dolan banned a fan for work.
He banned the fan. And he's a pampered elite just like Russell Westbrook. And this whole mentality that now fans are so out of line, they're screaming things at us.
That's not what
he's
saying.
Oh, my
God.
That's
over-exaggeration.
Are you kidding me?
Saying.
I watched
that's
Raymond
not, that's
Felt.
Not what he said.
Oh, we're humans, and they're just saying anything to us. Are you kidding me?
It's work, brother.
And again.
Respect
And again,
work.
And I'm just going to... I work, too, and have, throughout my entire journalistic career, have dealt with death threats.
Okay.
Real... and some BS. It doesn't provoke me to go off and lose my mind.
Sometimes.
I've had drunk people confront me all over my
How did
my
he
work.
Go off and lose his mind if he stayed in that place and said, do not make that threat again?
Hey,
but,
we're in a society.
How? Because he got filmed?
We're in a society where he's completely out of bounds talking anything about this man's wife.
And so is the fan.
He should be protected.
No. A fan can't yell sit down.
How do you know that's what he said?
Forget.
Can't say get on your knees.
Forget what he did to Westbrook. Forget what he did to Westbrook. Like, the NBA should not be having that.
Right.
Like, in that section.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you.
You ask 20 people in that section, 18 of them would be like, that was weak.
Right. We don't want that.
Before you go, again, and I love arguing with professional athletes. Do y'all know why y'all made so much money?
Not because of that fan. Because of fans. Not that fan. Go, fan.
There's a fanaticism among fans that have elevated athletes to the point where they can make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
The root cause of all of this is fanaticism.
Yeah.
We have a fanatical love affair. You take that fanaticalism out, you taking a lot of the money out. Ain't nobody buying jerseys. No one cares as much.
Because the fanatic is not giving off racious slurs or giving off big terms of that nature.
Stop.
You said well-adjusted adults.
Yes.
Okay. You want what you pay for is competition. What comes with competition is emotions, right? So you have sets of people who are emotional in your competition, and that's what makes the sport amazing because there are emotions in it, they're competitive.
Or the fame.
But then you can't expect him to be a well-adjusted adult. He's competitive at this point. His emotions are high, and then things
Dante.
Like that are coming at him.
You can't be above that.
The NBA has to allow the fans to act like a fan, but not act like a racist or a bigot or like you cannot do these things in America right now.
What'd you say? Yellow jackets.
Yeah,
there are yellow jackets.
Oh, I find
every team got four security guys.
Brian,
you don't have to go there,
Brian. And there were a bunch of them standing around monitoring this situation. They took this fan out of his seat, interviewed him for a couple of minutes, brought him back, and had a bunch of security people there.
We all know Utah's a different place,
So they were there monitoring what's happening. And fans are going to yell, sit down. They're going to yell stupid things. Again, the reason why this, because I used to be a fan, and I still am a fan. And I've cussed out. When I was 18 years old, I can still remember to this day, the Pacers didn't take Adrian Branch in the second round, and I wanted them to. Cussed out Donnie Walsh and a couple of at the Pacers draft party. I was the 18-year-old.
Are you saying that with pride?
Fan.
Or are you
no,
saying that?
I'm okay, saying that
like, regret.
I'm
okay, regret.
No, like, I'm saying yeah, regret.
Really, I don't have any regret. I was an 18-year-old kid. I'm a hardcore Pacer fan. I wanted Adrian Brands drafted. I yelled some stupid. Donnie Walsh, did nobody react and look? Look at this idiot.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Again,
that's what you do.
But your hard-earned money doesn't give you a license to ill. You're not buying that license to ill. Here's the thing. If Russell Westbrook is expected to be bigger than this, isn't the NBA expected to be bigger than this? Which means, what do we have to protect? Our players, our workplace, and our fan experience. If you take a poll of people who are sitting there saying, yeah, we're in agreement with this crazy fan, there are going to be so few people who are going to be in that mindset. Most of us want to have a cheering, a booing, and see some energy and see some competition. But then go home and let it go.
The money's in the families. The money's in the family-friendly product. And that's not a family-friendly set of words that were used. Both sides. I didn't say Russell Westbrook.
What did this guy say that was so, get on your knees?
I don't know what else to
say.
It wasn't suitable for work, and we're working right now.
We go with what Russell Westbrook said happened.
What you mean? Russell Westbrook didn't say what the guy said.
Yes, he did.
In full? No, he didn't in full.
Have you ever been to a game and you're like, man, that fan's crazy. He should be kicked out of here. All right. That's all we're saying. That fan's crazy. He should be kicked out of here. Guess who shouldn't kick him out? Guess who shouldn't kick him out? Westbrook.
Okay,
you shouldn't be like, hold up, coach. I'm going to escort this dude out of here. Okay. I'll be back to get that triple-double.
Let's start banning the fans. Let's start banning the fans for heckling.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
When the fans come back and say and put the pressure, oh, we're banning fans now for heckling.
Hold on.
Okay, when these athletes.
That's not a heckle.
We're not banning
fans.
We're not banning fans. We're banning a fan.
Okay,
I love when fans want to act like we are all collective.
Hey,
y'all ain't all the same.
I ain't with him.
You know I pay your salary. No, you don't. No, you don't. He does.
When
all y'all do, not you.
Set, when athletes cross the line, off the field, let's ban them too.
What do you mean cross the line?
I'm talking Joe Mixon. I'm talking about Kobe Bryant in
There's
Colorado.
A judicial system. Can you respect it? Can you respect
them?
The judicial system?
Yeah.
If this guy did this outside the arena, are we talking about a basketball?
That a few out-of-place words in an arena, yeah, let's ban them.
It's under the umbrella of the NBA.
When they do think, take drugs, cheating again, let's ban them for life, too.
Hey. I'm not saying that. You're trying to move the argument in the jurisdiction.
He mixed it up.
I'm telling you exactly where it's going to go. That's my as a journalist. This is the next step. Y'all want to start banning fans? Okay.
Let's take this step
first. Let's
start
banning athletes.
We'll worry about the next step after we take this step.
Okay.
What's up?
There's a lot of history written off of, hey, let's do this one stupid thing.
No, you can't do
and then
that,
wait
yeah.
until the next stupid thing happens
but
before
fans are already
this
getting
is not
banned.
Stupid.
Like the guy from Denver?
It's a mistake.
That guy, that's a mistake?
Yeah, they got five violation cards.
Man on the court went right in Westbrook's
What
face?
About in Europe when the guy ran on the field and just hit him in the face? Got to do 14
weeks.
We've been dealing with streakers and all that.
Oh, that ain't no streaker. You came and bombed on me, homie.
He hit him.
That ain't no streaker.
You can't do that.
Come on, Witt.
I don't know the details of what he's talking about.
It escalates. Like, if you don't give fans restrictions, it can escalate and get worse.
This will escalate on athletes as well. And y'all can sit here as elites.
So athletes have no rights whatsoever. No, just because you pay
them. They got plenty of rights.
I'm asking.
There's one guy in this argument that's getting paid millions of dollars.
It's not about the money.
Do they have any social rights?
You bought rights
for
the day.
Much is given, much is expected, bro.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they give you millions of dollars,
that might not be what that's about. It's not about the money in that phrase.
Yeah.
We have 70 years of NBA history, or maybe 90 years, pro football. We have 100 years of athletes ignoring hecklers. The overwhelming majority of them ignore hecklers of all kinds. Oh, but because Russell Westbrook is so soft and sensitive, we got to change everything and start banning fans.
No.
There's one guy that keeps having problems with fans, but we
got
to change the whole system.
I got a problem with
because
fans.
Because he's so
If we did not have social media, we would have not saw this.
But if it goes overboard and I'm in the stands, I'm not cool with that.
Did anything go overboard last night in Utah based off of what we know?
Based on what we know, which we don't know at all, what Russell said.
Hey, guys.
Jason Whitlock here. This Saturday night, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Errol Spence Jr. takes on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship live from AT&T Stadium. Spence Jr. versus Garcia, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now! Joined once again by Brian Scalabrine and Dante Jones. Time now for a big story sponsored by Volvo and the all-new S60. Follow no one. All right, let's return to the NBA where the Warriors' quest for a three-peat has hit some interesting roadblocks. Just in the past week, Golden State has lost by 33 at home to the Celtics, the worst home loss in the Kerr era. They also lost to the Suns, who have the second worst record in the NBA. Steve Kerr says his team is, quote, frustrated with our play, frustrated with ourselves, with our approach. We feel it. All right, the question here is, are the Warriors, for the first time in years, actually vulnerable? I believe they are.
No way. We were here last year. It's amazing when you're bored, you start looking and making up stuff. And it's crazy, you know, idle time is the devil's workplace. And this is one of those moments where we're bored of the results. So now we're starting to look into things, forgetting what has already occurred with this same team. Last year, down a stretch run, lost 10 of the last 17. Last year, in terms of defensive rating, we're ranked 11th. Oh, their defense is the problem. They're not going to win it all. Number one defense in the playoffs, went out there and won. Oh, last year, they don't have the number one seed. They're 7 games behind Houston. Did that matter?
So, thank God Chris Paul got hurt. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. And that's a part of the game. You know what? If we're going to take it, I got a ring coming if you're going to say injuries.
They
would have
lost to Houston last year.
You could say a lot. Oh, now you're making up stuff that didn't happen. But in the last segment, you tell me don't go there because I didn't know what happened. Okay. Okay. So that's all I'm saying. This is something that has happened just as recently as last year on their quest for another championship. This team will be fine. It will adjust.
They're not going to pull the wool over my eyes again with the way, as you said, last year they did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then they just turned it on playoff time and came through in the clutch. However, they do have one piece that I am scared of, which makes them vulnerable, which is DeMarcus Cousins. And playing possession basketball in the playoffs is a different type of basketball. And as it gets more competitive and as it gets more physical as the rounds go by, you have to concentrate more. You have to defend at a higher level. And with DeMarcus Cousins right now, they are not the same team that they were last year defensively. He can't just turn it on. He's been bad in pick and rolls throughout the course of his career. He can't just turn on a great defensive performance out there for a set of playoffs. And I think that makes them a team that is vulnerable. Do I think they're the favorite to win a championship? Yes, but they are more vulnerable than last year.
Doesn't Bogut not even play? Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. He'll play a little bit,
Your starting center is just not going to play.
What about Bogut?
Because last year, what they did was they rotated centers out.
Sure.
Since January, he's been their star. He's like their cornerstone at five. Like, he's what they're going to be, what they're basing their defense on. And I don't think they're going to just take playoff time, come and take Looney and just throw him in there. No. Draymond's not playing well right now.
You're gonna run their Death Star lineup still with Iguodala. Like I hear what you're saying, and we can talk about DeMarcus Cousins being struggling in the pick and roll, but it's not like they don't have options. They're not there sitting there saying like, well, if DeMarcus can't defend, we're screwed. No, they're
Who's
good.
Who's gonna fix Draymond? Draymond's broken. Oh, he's fine.
He'll be fine. He doesn't have to do that much. The offensive weapon. I love when people talk about the Warriors' depth. Oh, man, they're not as deep as they were last year. Well, they still have KD, Steph, Clay. So how deep do they have to be? I get it. It is boredom in the regular season. And every time a team comes into Golden State, that team is circling this game. The Phoenix Suns are like, our season
Chris
is so bad.
Last year, what happened? If Chris Paul remains healthy, you think
I'm not serious? Betting. Like they were down 3-1 to against KD, and Klay Thompson 40 points, and they came back that series. I'm not writing them off until it's over. Then I'll be like, well,
no one's writing off.
No. Right. By no means, not writing them off. I can't write them off because they're a proven commodity. No.
I don't think they'll be.
I think they're more vulnerable than last year. Yes.
All right.
But I think they're vulnerable.
So last year they were down 3-2, and down 13. 13 points in a game. You think they'll be down 3-2 in any series and be down 13 points in that elimination game? I'm asking.
They might be down 3-1.
Okay, so you think that's going to happen?
No, I didn't say that's going to happen.
I don't think they'll be in any worse of a situation that they were in last year.
Do you think they're more vulnerable this year than last year?
No, because they were down 3-2
yeah.
and down 13, and they won that game.
We got to keep the elements consistent. We got to keep them congruent. Think about it. A regular season is not a playoff series
Absolutely.
Where you see the same team for 2 weeks up to 7 times. Think about it. You are almost making a bet that your team is banking on their lineup having 4 bad games. They have mulligans built in their lineup. Klay,
no
Steph, KD. Like, you're betting that those guys are going to have 4 bad games? Are you kidding me? There's no way that's going to happen right now.
They can have a good game and get beat.
Those guys, those 3
games. I didn't say excellent. Yeah, they can have a good game and get beat.
Last year, Steph Curry.
I'm not defending.
In game 3 in Cleveland, brick. KD covering for him. Brick. KD's covering for you. All of a sudden, when Steph Curry got that wide open shot with 1:30 to go, when he was 1-for-11,
what they did was defend, and they defended at a high level. Even though they didn't make shots at points and times, they still defended. And what's the most dangerous quarters for the Golden State Warriors? The first and the third.
Yeah.
They start games off great, and they start third quarters.
But that's what they did last year. They had bad defense.
So now you had energy big men that you could throw in. You could throw JaVale in for spot minutes, and he'd bring you energy, and you could do this. You don't have those type of people. You have an aging Andrew Bogut. You have DeMarcus Cousins, who doesn't defend. And you have Looney. Like, what are you going to expect? And then the other bigs are in the doghouse. They haven't played that much this year. So then you're going to throw them in the playoffs with not much experience, and you're going to say, you know what? I need you, big dog. I need you to defend for me.
You really
are. Because Draymond can't hold it. Draymond can play
7 good.
Spot minutes at 5.
Okay, let me tell you the other.
That's a good argument, right?
Let me tell you the other, the big one.
Give me.
Kevin Durant, as opposed to last year, he has a foot out the door.
Oh, all right, maybe. What? He might.
What does that mean, though? I'm going to give you my all and try to get my third finals MVP in a row.
Like, you're not all in, man.
It's a difference. It's a difference for somebody like Kemba Walker, who's about to get paid. Like, KD been paid. Like, I'm going to free agency to either possibly for a change of scenery. It's not for money. It's possible change of scenery. I'm getting the same money that I was going to get. It's a possible change of scenery.
KD's not fully
motivated? What I'm saying is, yeah, his motivation is different.
Is it less?
No.
It could be. It could be not.
He's been great with money all these years. He's getting better every year with money. Y'all act like he's not.
It could be less intensified.
Your time employee, your effort and focus is different.
No. It's the one thing to be all in for an organization.
Y'all
and one thing to be locked in.
I'm going to go get the tapes.
Wait, did you see it?
I'm going to get your tapes of Sports Nation.
My last month?
When you was on the way out the door.
Oh, yeah. Last week was amazing.
Oh, I killed the thing, right?
1 foot in, 1 foot out.
That's enough.
Joining the show now is former Pro Bowl receiver T.J. Houspenzada and current NFL free agent linebacker Connor Barwin. All right, let's talk some NFL, where former Eagles quarterback and Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles is expected to sign a 4-year, $88 million deal with the Jaguars. At $22 million per year, Foles ranks below Joe Flacco and above Russell Wilson as the 11th highest paid quarterback in the league. This is notable because another quarterback in the NFC East is looking to get paid in Dak Prescott. Since 2016, if you go by the numbers, Dak and Foles appear to be very similar. Dak's 33 wins is tied for second among all NFL quarterbacks. But in that same time span, Foles was the MVP in the Eagles Super Bowl win over Tom Brady and the Patriots. All right, there's been talk. There was, I think, a report last week. Dak's going to get $27 to $30 million. To me, Nick Foles getting $22 million a year, that is my ceiling for Dak Prescott. This dude, Foles, has had playoff success. Previously, he's had regular season success. I would not give Dak a dime more than $22 million per.
You're not his agent then, because if I were his agent, oh man, I got a great case. Y'all just gave Nick Foles the 4-game playoff streak winner. Okay, respect.
Most important game.
Oh, yeah, most important game. But you know what's more important? To get into that position of actually making the playoffs. And that's where you have to start to piece together one Nick Foles. That work that starts in the offseason, that goes all the way September, all the way to January, has tremendous value when you're talking about Dak Prescott. As you said, second most wins since he's been in the league at that position. You got to pay that. You also got to pay in value
someone who is a great ambassador for your franchise, someone who won't step in it, someone who's playing a position in a way that you could build around them. And that's in leadership, also in production, someone who is still growing at the position. I think when you see a Nick Foles, you start to go to a place where you're like, huh, Nick Foles is kind of Eli Manning-ish in the sense of Eli Manning in 15 years played, what, 13 years without a playoff win? And then in those 2 years, bam, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl MVP. You're like, oh, yes. And you know he's the second highest NFL player in history. And guess who's number one? Peyton Manning, his brother. Damn, Archie, you did that. Number one is Peyton Manning. Guess who he is? He's like a Dak Prescott. Who at the top.
Peyton Manning is like a Dak Prescott.
You ready? You ready for the beginning of, you remember the early Peyton Manning? Oh, he puts you in position, but just can't win it all. Just can't win it all. You just said it about Dak. He hasn't won it all. He hasn't won. One playoff win. But then it starts to evolve. You stick with Dak Prescott as your franchise quarterback, it can evolve into something special. Maybe not Peyton, but something special.
You know what's crazy is,
he just compared Peyton Manning.
I played Peyton in the beginning. 28 interceptions, year one.
Why is it that we can't put no respect on Dak Prescott's name? He's all. If you think, for me, I said it on this show weeks ago, maybe months ago. For me, Dak Prescott should start at 4 years, $88 million. What a coincidence. Now, for me, if I'm Dak this is the starting point. Mm. This Nick Foles and Dak Prescott, they're one and what as a quarterback. Me, personally, I would take Dak Prescott. He's younger. He's had more sustained success. Nick Foles is kind of like lightning in a bottle, so to speak.
Yeah.
This is the starting point for me. If we're on a 30-foot story building, we're on like the 20th floor right now with this contract. We got room to go up. If I'm Dak Prescott, I don't want to get – now, I want all the money I can get, but stay around 24, 25 million. So now the team around me – because the cap's going up every year. You sign for 22 million, you're going to be underpaid. 23, 24, 25 million a year max for Dak Prescott, and you can keep the pieces around you.
Mm. Well, I think what you guys are talking about is who's a better quarterback, who do you like, Dak or Nick? And really, it's about when you're signing the contract. So Foles just signed for 4 year, $88 million, and you said you won't pay Dak $27 million a year, which is supposedly. But he's going to get more than Foles just because the timing of it. He's going to sign this deal later this summer, and that's how free agency works. It's all the market. It's not always about what they've done in the past, but it's when you sign the contract. And because Dak is following this up after Foles signed his deal, he's going to get more than what Foles got.
That is true. That is how the negotiation goes. Your agent uses that.
That's a great point, but you dodged your own question.
Uh-oh.
Who's the better
quarterback? That's a different question. We can switch it now.
Who's the better quarterback, Dak or Nick Foles?
Well, I played with Foles. I played against Dak a little bit. It's hard to compare. I think TJ made a great point about Dak's future contract. He might be able to negotiate up to 27-30, but it might not be in his best interest. Maybe around 24 or 25 because he can have more talent with him. I think Foles walked into a great situation and had great success and was unbelievable. I don't want to take anything against him. Dak has been there the whole time. He's had some good, some bad, but he's been the quarterback there through all the games. And he needed to make sure that they can run the ball for him to be successful. And if they can always keep that run game going, I think Dak has the ability to make those
plays. So, Connor, you're going back to play more because you don't want to do this. Get off the fence.
No.
You're taking Dak.
I'm not taking either one. But Dak is going to get paid more money than Nick.
Oh, man. You got to go
you
play.
You got to. Who's better?
Who's better?
You know who's better.
You done seen one every day in practice, and you done played against one twice a year.
Nick Foles is better.
I'm taking Foles.
Yeah.
I'm taking Foles.
That's just teammate love right
there. Boy.
Yeah, that's teammate love.
I am taking Foles. I think Dak is really good. I remember the first time we played Dak, and, you know, it was all about keeping him in the pocket. Stop the run and then keep Dak in the pocket. Mm. Man, he destroyed us in the pocket. Threw the ball all over the field.
Right.
You know, so I think he has the ability to throw from the pocket. He has the ability to run outside and make plays. But if I had to pick one, I'm taking Foles.
Because the Cowboys don't need a linebacker, so you're like, all right.
I'm not be going to Jacksonville.
Nick Foles has elevated in the most important time of the year to a level Dak has never done. And again,
How many years has Nick Foles been?
But Foles hasn't had to be that leader the whole time.
Thank you.
He stepped into it at the right time.
Carry that water
and
all
was
that
great.
Time.
But there's a difference now when he's the starting quarterback from day one all the way through.
Have they ever built a shrine to Dak Prescott in their locker room? No. Again, so when he got the opportunity and stepped up, He created a lot of believers in that Eagles locker room. Guys believe in Nick Foles.
Frank Reich did that too. Doug Williams did that too. Keep putting
Jeff Hostetler did it too.
Fine. I'm just saying. What? And again, if I'm Dak Prescott, I agree with you. Y'all saying around 24, 25 million. I say Dak should protect himself even more. Once you get over $25 million a year in that, they can put that number out there. You're going to read that every time you have a poor game. Oh, they're paying this dude $25 million a year, and he's still only throwing 22 touchdowns.
Oh, I stopped reading after they said $25 million.
You know what, though?
So I see $25 million in a sentence.
Russell Wilson, when his contract is up, he's going to surpass that.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers is going to surpass that. Ben Roethlisberger is going to surpass that.
It's all the time.
So what Dak Prescott is getting is really going to be middle-of-the-pack money by the time all those other guys, they're going to come and surpass that very easily.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. If you're Dak Prescott, you're on a team with a lot of young talent. I know contracts are coming up. What, DeMarcus Lawrence, whatever is going to happen there. You talk about next year, you got to go start looking. Maybe Ezekiel.
Amari Cooper.
But Byron Jones, like, they have a young core. So at that moment, this is not Russell Wilson, who was playing with a lot of aging defensive players who needed their money, who was getting their money. This is a situation where all of us are young, so someone has to step out in front. I think it should be their franchise quarterback.
Hey guys, Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
TJ Houshmandzadeh and Connor Barwin are back. Let's return to the NFL. Free agency doesn't officially begin until tomorrow. The Baltimore Ravens have already lost four defensive starters. Linebacker C.J. Mosley bolted for the Jets. Safety Eric Weddle signed with the Rams. Pass rusher Za'Darius Smith went to Green Bay. And future Hall of Famer Terrell Suggs went home to play for the Cardinals. Lamar Jackson helped lead the Ravens to the AFC North title last season, but their defense was tops in the NFL in yards allowed per game. I think this breaking up of that Baltimore defense will put a lot of pressure on the Baltimore offense and Lamar Jackson. This is very fascinating to see. And look, I think Suggs is long in the tooth, and it does make sense to move on from him. Weddle, been around a while, but four guys off a defense that was number one in the league, I think that culture in Baltimore, this is the last, when Suggs leaves, that's the last of the Ray Lewis era. This team's going to need a lot more from Lamar Jackson than they got last season.
And I think they're going to get it. This is a team that responded to Lamar in his rookie campaign. They won six of the last seven. Reports are he's already working on his game, and he's working on it down in Florida and really trying to work on his pocket presence and throwing the ball from the pocket. This is an offensive league. I understand defense wins championships, but last year the top four teams were the top four scoring offenses. So if he can fix his issues in the pocket, this will correct and make a larger leap than trying to go out there with the number one defense. Because guess what? Who was the number two defense last year? Trivia. Buffalo. How did that work out? You know why? Because they ain't have nothing on offense clicking. So you got to look at this league as for what it is. It may change. It may shift back to the yesteryear. But right now, it is an offensive league. And if your quarterback can go out there and become a true dual threat, and you don't know what he's going to do, run or pass the ball, and pass it efficiently, oh, you're going to have problems. Baltimore is smart for doubling down on him.
So for me, he's a quarterback. It's always going to be pressure number one. And with Baltimore, it's like this. When they lose defensive players, they've earned the respect and the cachet that they know what they're doing. 15 of the last 19 years, they've been top 10 in defense. Mm. That's a long time. Baltimore plays defense. It doesn't matter who they got on defense side of the ball, they're going to get it done. That's period. It just doesn't matter. That's the reputation they've built. For Lamar Jackson is he averaged 159 passing yards a game. He's going to have to get that closer to 200, if not over 200 per game, for them to be more effective, for them to kind of If you look at the playoff game, the Chargers just literally said, we're going to make you throw the ball. We don't think you can do it. And he couldn't do it. He's going to have to fix that. He's young. He should fix it. He's working on it. He should get better. And I expect him to.
I like the move. I think, you see the league is changing. You see the Ravens not overpaying to keep players around. I mean, what you saw C.J. Mosley get paid is an unbelievable amount of money for an inside linebacker. You saw the Ravens saying, we're not going to overpay people. We've got guys in the wings that we drafted that we like. We're going to let them play. And then maybe free agency isn't over yet. They can invest in some offensive free agents that will help Lamar Jackson.
My issue is Suggs and Weddle and just their leadership presence. When I think of Baltimore and that defense, I think of a culture that was set by Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs, that now all of that is gone. And again, to me, and look, Ray Lewis is an all-time great. Ed Reed, obviously, another all. Well, it was. I was going to say it wasn't all talent, it was culture. But damn, these dudes.
All time.
You want to keep going? They're more than
yeah, they all time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Haloti,
believe the culture there matters.
Yeah.
And it's now all gone. That accountability they had, that pride they had on defense, it's all gone. And now Baltimore's going to flip a switch with a second-year quarterback and a bunch of tight ends they've signed. Willie Snead's their best receiver. Ball State guy, loved to death. He's not an outside receiver. He's a slot receiver. Where are the pieces to help Lamar Jackson on the offensive side? The defense, to me, is definitely going to take a step back.
Well, you got to understand about culture. It's dependent on players when you're building it. But once it's built, it's supposed to be independent of the players and interchangeable. Like, look at the New England Patriots and their culture. No matter who comes in, the culture is the umbrella. The culture is the climate. As soon as you walk in, you're like, you're mesmerized. You're seduced by this culture. So, I mean, they've had Ray Lewis. Once Ray Lewis left, it almost seems like there's a climate there. There's an enforcer there. And maybe he's a different name. Maybe it's a different jersey number. But it's still going to be in presence because that's just what the Ravens do.
But you look at it this way. He has pressure on him. But yeah. If they are able to sign Le'Veon Bell, which they're in the running to, that will alleviate and take some pressure off of him, make things a little easier for him in a passing game because now you get single high safety, you're stopping a run. You guys just got to win on outside.
I know you're a slot receiver. They got to have someone on the outside. No?
No. With a young quarterback, the easiest throw for him is inside the numbers. You got tight ends, you got slot receivers, you got running back. That's easy. You can have somebody on outside that has a good enough quickness that can get over the top. That's overrated. When you have a guy outside, how often does he affect the game? Not. You can take him out of the game. You put a safety over it, you take him out of the game. You can't take a guy out of in the middle of the field. You can't take him out of the game. It's hard to take a tight end out of the game. It's hard to take a slot receiver out of the game. We can affect the game so much. Third and six, first down, keep the drive going. Third and eight, first down, keep the drive. You can take an outside receiver out of the game very easily.
I'd rather stick with Gus Edwards, young running back, rookie contract scale, than spend all that money towards Le'Veon. Like you said, there are missing pieces on defense, at least in terms of name and quality, in terms of being enforcers of the culture. I would rather spend that around than go get Le'Veon. Like Edwards did, that running game was number one with Edwards and Lamar Jackson. Not the most effective model going forward. We need more passing efficiency from Lamar Jackson, but I would kind of spread that money around more than later.
Time for Antisocial with Lock and Wiley, my favorite segment.
Sold out on my books. Look at it. Sold out.
TJ Husmanzada and Dante Jones are back.
Dante.
Got our man Darnell
Dante walking Jones.
Through these Twitter
streets. Ooh, that shirt crispy. Ooh. Crispy.
Come on, I appreciate it, man.
And the chain laying on that thing. Nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. We doing it big now. Price done went up.
All right, Darnell, what's popping?
Oh, before we get started, Willock. Do y'all smell that in here?
What we smell?
I think we got some smoke in the building. Hey, last night during the Raptors and Cavs game, Serge Ibaka got into a fist fight with AAU player Marquise Chris. Ibaka obviously wasn't playing no games after damn near choke slamming Chris to the floor. Twitter was loving it with all types of funny posts. Ooh. My favorite was his fans' reaction when the fight first broke out. Oh. Kind of remind me of Whitlock when the Thanksgiving meal finally gets finished. Anyway, Marcellus.
What
smoke is this?
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, this was smoke in this one, man. Look, Serge Ibaka didn't just stay on the ground, let the dude talk smack to him, so it ain't a wet match. Mm-hmm. Then you look at it, he got up and did something, so it ain't a bonfire. But he didn't get up swinging like he off Slauson. He was off Slauson with them swings that I'd be like, scorched earth. So I got to give him a grease fire because that pause of how he didn't really want to swing, but he finally threw a punch and only one punch, I give you a grease fire. But respect, that was almost there.
Yeah, I actually like this. Yeah. Someone actually cares in the NBA.
Oh, it's worth fighting. That's the only way to care.
That's how you got to fight.
Reminds me of the old school.
He grabbed that man up like he got something going on at the house, man.
That was personal.
He was trying to take on somebody at the house. Like, he got problems. He dealing with something brought to the workplace.
He didn't know the
that
fight.
That man had nothing to do with that one.
He didn't know he was in there.
He tried to choke him like he was a little boy. Right. Like, come here, little boy. He didn't, like, it was just odd. Like, Serge Ibaka went out there like, bro, don't you ever disrespect me like that. Right. I ain't even gonna punch you. I'm gonna choke you.
Right.
It was just weird. Serge Ibaka trying to be a bully.
Charles Oakley with the Knicks. That takes me back to the old days. Yeah. So I like that.
Oh, that was scorched earth every day.
Yeah.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to a hot topic online. Charles Cashley's criticism of Kyler Murray sparked a lot of debate last week. Mm. Well, yesterday, he said the reason the Cowboys didn't utilize Cole Beasley enough in 2018 is because they threw the ball to Dez Bryant too much. Only problem is, Dez wasn't on the Cowboys last year. Cashley got a lot of heat on social media. But do you guys think they're being too hard on him?
No. I think Charlie Cashley is setting himself on fire.
Grease fire.
Yeah, he just sayonara. He's done.
Yeah.
No more TV work for him as soon as this draft season's
over. Man, for real. Hey, what's the old proverb? None of us is as smart as all of us. So be careful when you're going out there and saying something. In today's society, we had that conversation before about critics. So if you're going to be a critic, you got to be thorough. You got to be fact-based. Because if you're coming out there sideways, the world will check your criticism. And then you double down. Oh, man. Last year, where was Dez? Dez was at the crib or getting hurt in New Orleans day one.
That's it. And Stephen A. Smith will open
the
up a
crazy thing. Oh, man. He used to be a general manager. You should know who's on what team and what. Man, for him to do this after you come out and just bash Kyler Murray, I'm with Jason, bro. It's done. He over with. And when he was in Houston, he wasn't good at it anyway.
It was, yeah, he drafted David Carr. It should have been done then, no?
Get your facts straight, homie.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, sticking with the NFL talk, Teddy Bridgewater passed up some big money from the Dolphins to stay with the Saints and back up Drew Brees. Mm. Meanwhile, former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles agreed to sign with the Jaguars, and Booger McFarland tweeted that he'd rather have Bridgewater than Foles. Social media had a good time making fun of Booger for his take. But, guys, is it crazy to think Bridgewater's better than Foles?
Love Booger. Love Booger. But I have no idea what he's talking about here. Mm. There's just nothing on Bridgewater's resume the last 2 or 3 years to justify this take.
It's amazing what Bridgewater is doing is the Nick Foles, which means you have opportunities to go somewhere else, get more money, get an opportunity. I'm going to stay here, stay in the incubator. Like, Teddy Bridgewater recovering from injury, learning from Drew Brees, knowing that one day Drew Brees may pass that baton to him. He sees the fanfare and love in New Orleans. When we saw Nick Foles, he had opportunity to leave last year. He stayed still. I think Teddy Bridgewater is borrowing a page from Nick Foles. Smart.
Yeah, that's an unpopular opinion for me. Like, Nick Foles right now is no comparison is better than Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, we haven't seen Teddy Bridgewater play. And when he did play last year, how he looked? He looked terrible. He looked terrible. Teddy Bridgewater looked terrible. So, Booger McFarland, I think he's going to do a hell of a job on Monday Night Football. I liked him last year.
Did they get Booger in the booth?
I think Booger's getting the booth.
He should get it.
Get off the mobile.
He should get it.
I'm going to have a tantrum if he don't.
He wrong on this one.
Yeah, he's wrong on it.
Yeah.
But listen, what about his Marcellus's take? I just had a brain fart now.
His take with Bridgewater? No, I smell something.
The Nick Foles page?
No, not going to Miami and taking the money. Bridgewater staying in New Orleans.
You know what? He's looking at the long term over the short term,
exactly.
Which for him might be the better move.
Don't go out there and get exposed.
Stay
real
on the bench rather than go get a starting job and the money.
All-star.
He likes the system. He likes Sean Payton. He likes what they have going there. And I believe coaching matters in the NFL.
He knows something he don't know.
Yeah. He probably knows himself. He probably knows if he leaves.
He saw them games last year he played in too. Yeah. He was like, I ain't ready yet, bro. Watch the tape. I ain't gonna cash
it. Gonna play for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick disciples don't do well.
Ooh,
so.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Right. Nah, not yet.
All right, now it's time for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
It's Darnell. This is my guy. My guy. My question of the day. My question of the day. 285 pounds.
All right, guys, so Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, you posted a video of your son showing off some of his great athleticism.
Yeah, little man, getting it.
Right, he was getting to it. And you, you know, being an athlete, my question for you is, did you think about your spouse's athleticism when choosing a wife?
I know Marcellus
did. That's such a setup question.
Oh, man, you already know. Oh, hell yeah, I did.
First thing I said to my wife when she walked by me and she was going into the party I was going into, I said, where you get the muscles from? First question, because I was already thinking that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna keep it real. Looks mattered, athleticism mattered, intelligence mattered. Are you kind? Not nice. I don't like nice people. I like kind people. Like, even when it is nothing, no motivation to be kind, you still are. Not just nice for something. My wife, whew, she's an athlete. Now, she had bad knees, so I'm a little skeptical. I got to watch my little man's knees. But my wife, whoo, she is built for it. And my little man so far is showing a little sign of
it. He moving.
Like, I love that transparency. I can't wait to hear you.
Nah, for me, I didn't think about no athleticism. My wife, she gonna watch this, and I talk about it all the time. I'm like, man, I wasn't thinking. My wife is, she ain't playing no sports. My wife ain't playing no, and I tell her this all the time, like, man, I hope you ain't mess up our gene pool.
Your daughters are getting scholarships.
And that's what she always say. Our kids is cute. And they got scholarships. That's what she always tell me.
It worked out.
Hey, I tell my kids right now, my daughter at school right now, don't you go to college and get no bum that ain't no good athlete. Don't mess your gene pool
up.
Because I wasn't thinking it. So I'm telling my kids that don't mess your gene pool up. Baby, I love you. You got a little bit athletic, so just a little bit.
Yeah, do better than me.
Y'all are crazy, man. I ain't getting it, man. I did not think about athleticism at all. I got exactly what I wanted. I wanted an intelligent woman.
So what you're saying is you got enough athleticism yourself.
No, I didn't think about it now. If hindsight is always 20/20, I should have looked at it because I got boys. So I should have been like, you know what? Can you run a 40? Or can you jump a little bit? But nah, I got an intelligent woman that I adore.
But your kids are pretty good athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm happy that God gave it from my side, because if it was on her side, it wouldn't be the picture it is right now.
I'm going to tell you what made me think about this. Honestly, a couple of weeks ago when we had LeVar Ball here, and I asked him authentically, like, hey, man, did you choose your wife because this was part of your vision to have these athletic sons? And he said yes.
Yeah.
And it was something I was like, damn, that had never crossed my mind.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It literally made me think about it, because I know your wife met her and was like, she looks like an athlete. I was like, did that run through Marcellus's mind?
Now, watch this. We're like, what year, how old were you when you got married?
24.
You hear that? How old were you?
30.
39. I waited because I knew I was
like, he had a different viewpoint. He knew what he was doing.
I got to see the entire landscape. I was like, I know what I want.
Right. Experience.
At 39 now, I would be taking that into consideration.
At 39, you see it all. You're like, all right, I can have intelligence.
So we saying our wives are lucky to have
them. We're like, you taking them notes?
They got us early.
I'm definitely taking notes, but I'm 50. I know my list is so long of requirements. We could be here all day.
Hey, we're like, hey,
I need to hear that.
It's over for me. You see my fiance, she's 5 foot. It's over.
Oh, man.
I mean, my son, he's going to be in the books because he's going to be a power lifter.
A gymnast, a power lifter.
What?
Maybe the
I'm scared to ask what's on your list, Whitlock.
It's a long list.
Oh, I want to know. Is that a thinking cap?
No, it's a thinking cap. Look, the number one thing is,
yeah.
I don't make no mistake. I'm a dictator. If you don't like Cuba, you don't like Fidel Castro.
So you single the rest of the
time. Yeah, but she gotta be a great listener, huh?
Great listener.
That's the crowd.
It's a wrap.
It's over. Archaic times.
Medieval times.
And I'm just gonna say this. If you don't like the leadership, you can always leave.
Leadership or leavers.
Oh, that's how you run your house. I see why you think the way
coming
you think sometimes.
Single. Dante Jones is back. Let's move to Magic Johnson, who's taking some heat after losing 5 straight and the Lakers facing a 6th straight season in the lottery. Now The Athletic is reporting Magic ignored pleas of coaches to keep Julius Randle and Brooke Lopez last summer. Randle's averaging over 20 points a game in New Orleans, and Lopez is contributing to the Bucks, who have the best record in the NBA. Instead, Magic and company brought in veterans on 1-year deals that haven't exactly panned out. This is the stereotypical finger pointing that goes on during a disastrous season.
Yes.
Oh God, it's...
I told you so.
March, and you didn't do what I told you to do in October or, you know, September or whenever. This is, to me, these are the death throes of Luke Walton. He's getting fired, and he's making... It wasn't my fault. I told these idiots what to do, Magic and Pelinka, and they didn't do it. Not saying that they're wrong, you know, but it's just the typical finger-pointing that goes on with a disastrous season.
What do they say? A fool learns from his own mistakes, and a wise man learns from others. I understand it, what you're saying. This is basically the death sentence for one Luke Walton, but if I'm Magic, I'm put on notice by this as well. One, I have my reservations about Magic in this role. Not the person, but in this role, the lack of experience. The fact that they're running the playbook in terms of PR that they ran last year when things were ugly. Roll out Andre Ingram. Then in a 10-day contract, Andre Ingram pops out to give the fans the last good taste in their mouth, even though they should have a sour taste for what this team is and what this organization is doing right now. Six straight years without them being in the playoffs. Just absurd, especially when they've been in the lottery so many times as well. I look at it, and I think Magic is in a position where he has to berate LeBron James publicly. He did it to Luke Walton in the sense of it got out, when I say publicly. And that was in September, October. Remember early in the season when Magic just was on record a month before saying, Luke has time. Luke, we have patience. Then whatever happened behind the scenes, Luke Walton was put on notice. I think you got to do that to LeBron. Think about LeBron's missteps in terms of what this Laker fan base is feeling in terms of him being a part of the family. He came here. He didn't do an introductory press conference. Every player does that. He's, you know, he was like, well, I don't want to do Miami 2.0. Okay, just don't promise championships, but still say hello to LA. Then the tweet about Blaze Pizza, his own company, I'm going to be there. Never showed up. And then publicly, a lot of people are saying, where's LeBron's fingerprints in the community? We understand his fingerprints are on all these endeavors for profit, but in the community. It would take Magic Johnson to show that I'm not just a relationship former player team president, but as you said, the dictator. Like, I actually can put my people in proper position. If not, I think that's the greatest fix, the greatest glue to making this situation better fast.
I think he will do his job and fix this Laker organization, because I think he'll finally be given the keys to the car. It's one thing when your parents give you the keys to their car, but it's one thing when they give you the car. Mm. They think you're ready and responsible for it at that point in time. He hasn't had the full keys to the car because Jenny Buss, because when he hasn't even hired a coach to follow out his plan. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, when it's not your coach, then you really don't have control over the team. You guys are not aligned. And that's when you'll fully see the guy that he hires next, you'll fully see the guy that he feels responsible for his team. And on a second note, I think Magic Johnson is the only star to articulate the mission and the journey ahead for the Los Angeles Lakers. He is the guy that has done it before, and he can give you the full picture of
on the court,
what it would be like to be a Los Angeles Laker and what it would look like for the rest of your career. I think he can sell that. He'll be the best seller of that to a star coming up. And then building the team, I think he has a job of putting a coach out there to really reflect this.
There's some theory or statistical proof that businesses handed down to children tend to fail.
Yeah.
And so I look at Jeannie Buss, Jim Buss, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka. I don't see any of those guys as extremely qualified to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why I look at it's the leaks, the death throes of Luke Walton. Luke Walton, I believe, and I didn't talk to him, don't know him. I think he's looking at what I'm looking at. I'm going to catch all the blame in these guys here that don't know what they're doing, have less experience than I do. He's had more experience as a coach in a championship environment than Magic's had as a president of a basketball team. Pelinka certainly running a team. This is Kobe's buddy, agent, whatever, in this position. And Jeannie Buss and Jim Buss, nothing but trouble since Jerry Buss, but Luke Walton's going to take the blame.
Yeah.
They got a mess.
You know what? It's funny you talk about that. A lot of times they brought this up in sports psychology in terms of the sophomore slump. But basically they're saying 2.0 success. When you had early success, Magic as the player, as a Laker, Jeannie and Jim learning from their father. When you have that success, what hinders you going forward is the fact that you don't return
to square one. You always think, because I already saw how it worked, that I can take some of that and just apply it to this. You got to go back to square one in terms of your thinking, in terms of your game plan and execution. If not, what's going to happen is you're going to spin. And look at this franchise right now. They're trying to do what they did before. But this is a different era. You have different things coming at you, different variables, and it's a different free agency. This is a time where people are saying they actually don't want to play with LeBron and the Lakers. Never thought that before. So now you just got to renew your thinking if you're going to go forward and do better.
I don't think it's Luke Walton's fault by no, no means. I think he'll be the victim of hiring a new president. And that just happens in time and just not being the right coach at the right time. Never a day in my life I thought Luke was the problem. No. But what Magic, if Magic is held responsible for the organization, he's going to have to hire his guy to be fully held responsible.
Uncle Jimmy's here to give out his daily Big Dummy Award and help us talk about our approval rating. Uncle Jimmy, who's the Big Dummy of the day?
So the Big Dummy of the Day Award goes to the Big Dummy that almost got away without being the Big Dummy. And boy, he blew it at the last minute. The Big Dummy go to whoever in the hell made the comparison of Dak Prescott to Peyton Manning. Why? That's got to be you, Marcellus. There's dumb,
what you
and
mean?
Then there's dumber.
What do you mean?
I think this is called the dark side.
All right. Oh, here we go.
Right, here we go. We got to go to a highlight from our discussion earlier about Russell Westbrook. Westbrook is exhibiting the behavior of your typical privileged, pampered, millionaire elite. He's better than the peasants who support his lavish lifestyle and come to witness his athletic feats.
So you slap Russell Westbrook, say, hey, man, you can't threaten fans slash a woman. But more importantly, fans, get in alignment because you're messing up the experience for everyone else who's paying their hard-earned money.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah.
What's your take on Russell Westbrook?
First of all, everybody, y'all done missed the whole key statement in this whole controversy.
What we miss?
All right. Kyle, can we play that tape? Just play the part that he's talking about his wife. Just play it right now. Roll it.
Don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man. Don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man.
Ha! Did you hear it?
He like him little.
What'd he say?
He like him little.
5 foot, 100 pounds.
110.
Boy, I swear, the longer you live, you get just dumb as my nephew, man, I swear.
What?
The man said his wife is 5 foot, 100 pounds. That was his first mistake.
What?
Hey, man, bro, let me tell you something.
What?
Hey, man, Westbrook wouldn't have been talking like that if any of my ex-wives had been sitting up there. Bro, they would have torn from bungholio to elbow. Hey, man, you think them old Washington Redskins offensive lines, they called them hogs? You think them was intimidating? Bro, you ain't seen nothing until Uncle Jimmy's five ex-wives get standing up shoulder to shoulder. Bro, they average about 5'8". About 313, tackle to tackle. Bro, Westbrook would have sat that ass down. You understand me?
That's true story. I seen out Maydessa funk some grown men.
What? Maydessa cold with them hands.
What?
Maydessa didn't play, bro.
How many triceps? How many she had hanging?
Huh?
How many triceps she had hanging?
Man, Maydessa had 30-inch triceps. She had 30-inch. Hey, bro, listen, tell you something, bro. If Maydessa would have threatened Westbrook, I mean, if Westbrook would have threatened Maydessa, I'd have had to get her up out the chair. I'd have been like... And after I got her up, bro, it would have been on like Donkey Kong. You understand what I'm saying? She'd have whooped the brakes off of her. Hey, bro, I'm serious. Like I just said, Desi had 30-inch biceps. Bro, you can squeeze maple syrup out of one and bacon grease out the other. Hey, bro, she'd have put Westbrook in a headlock.
What?
Bro. Put that ass to sleep.
Look, man.
Seriously.
What should the NBA do about Westbrook? That's the question.
Lord Jesus, forgive me for what I'm about to say, but I agree with Jason.
Mmm.
You can't choose your friends, and you can't choose friends, fans, and family. Now, you know how many times I've tried to disown my nephew over there? Can't do it.
Right.
He a big dummy. World know it.
Right.
But he's our big dummy.
That's true.
We love him. Thanksgiving would be the same without him. He's the only one in the family who properly know how to clean them chitlins.
Y'all still eat chitlins?
You know what I'm saying? Look at you. Don't look, you know, because you got to get it just right.
What do you mean just right? Don't buy it. What
hey, man,
mean,
where's right? my approval rating?
Chitlins so
we got to get to my approval rating. They give me my notes for my approval rating.
Oh.
Westbrook went down in my approval rating. Let me see that, Marcel.
Yeah, you can have that.
Let me see that. Yeah. He went down to a 65. Mm. Stayed same job performance. Stayed to all-time greatest. I dropped him 8 points in character. You can't be threatening a man's wife. Yeah. And I dropped him 4 points in authenticity, total of 65. Taking on fans. Fight the players. Fight your peers.
Yeah, look, even though I side with Westbrook, I did take him down just because of the optics. Not the way you want to promote, being the MVP, higher standard. That said, fans get in alignment. You're not just messing up the experience for the players. You messing it up for us other fans who just want to sit there and cheer and boo. We don't want to hear all that extra stuff, so chill out, buddy. He's still a GOAT.
You know what? I didn't get to ask. Where'd you get this T-shirt? You running for president now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all now. Go BBW or go home.